First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take my watch off here. And you know that that old saying, what does it mean when the speaker takes his watch off? It's absolutely nothing. but I have been given the hint not to go on for too long. So the Gideons, we're told to do our talks in about 10 minutes, and I timed mine this morning. It's about 13, so I hope you'll forgive me for that, okay? But good morning anyway, and thank you for inviting me here. Thank you, Ben. And just want to ask you how you're doing this morning, the last one in March. And very briefly, I'm going to share my story with you and then tell you a little bit about the work of the Gideons. So first of all, I'm going to invite you to look at some pictures. We had a bit of fun trying to get these up and running. Are they there, John, up on the screen? The pictures you're about to see are some of my spiritual heroes, some of the guys who helped to lead me here to you this morning. Just going to wait for the first one to come up. It's a picture of a man called Edward Kimball. Has anybody ever heard of a man called Edward Kimball? Not many people have heard of him. He's coming. He's done the first one. That's the fella. Yay. He was a Sunday school teacher. Anybody here a Sunday school teacher? Yay, at the back there. And this is to encourage you. Youth workers, never lose heart because you're doing essential work. He was a Sunday school teacher in Boston, around about the same. Somebody saw that this morning and thought it was Charles Dickens, about the same sort of time. He prayed for all the boys in his class, and he tried to win each one of them to the Lord personally. And one particular man gave him a real hard time. Every Sunday, he disrupted his classes. And Edward Kimball had enough of it. So one Saturday in 1855, he went down to the shoe shop where that boy had a part-time job, stacking the shelves. And he confronted him there in the stockroom. It's the next one. That's the fella. The boy was called D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody. Anybody ever heard of him? Yeah. Okay. In that stockroom in the shoe shop that Saturday, D.L. Moody believed the gospel. He received Jesus Christ as his saviour. And he went on to become the most hugely influential evangelist of the 1800s, the 19th century. His work touched two different continents for God, and he brought millions of souls to Jesus. But the story doesn't end there. It's where it begins, for me anyway, because through Moody, another man became converted. His name was J. Wilbur Chapman. There he is. And Chapman went on to become an evangelist himself. And he led a series of meetings to which another man went. It's the next one. He's called Billy Sunday. Anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday? He's in the song Chicago by Frank Sinatra. Yeah, Billy Sunday. Great man. He was a baseball player. And he attended one of Chapman's meetings on a day off. And he found himself giving his heart to Jesus. And he gave up baseball. And he became a preacher himself. And he went on evangelistic crusades. And he teamed up with another man, who's the next one, called Mordecai Ham. Yeah, you heard of him. He was a fiery preacher. And one day, Mordecai Ham went to a place called Charlotte in North Carolina in 1934, where a sandy-haired, lanky young man, 16 years old, still in high school, went along to hear him. That man, Billy Frank, as his family called him, didn't really want to go. He said he would never go and hear someone like that, but he was persuaded to give somebody a lift. And while he was there waiting, he heard the message. And he was intrigued by what he heard. And he returned on another evening, and he responded to the invitation, and he became a Christian. And that man, Billy Frank, known better as Billy Graham, went on to become the evangelist who has preached to more people on planet Earth than any other person that ever lived, including the Apostle Paul. Billy Graham led over 200 gospel crusades around the world. And then one day, one fateful day for me, the 6th of July, 1984, he came to England, and he spoke at Villa Park, the home of Aston Villa Football Club, televised by the BBC. And sitting at home by himself in Crawley, West Sussex, was an atheist, a football fan who had switched on to see what was going on at Villa Park. This young man's life was spiralling out of control, full of drugs, alcohol, very bad behaviour. He was the kind of young man with long hair, a bit of a crazy weirdo, the sort of guy that you would cross the road to avoid. But when he heard Billy Graham's message that night, he decided to put his faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And yes, that man was me. Okay, yeah. Well, what Billy Graham didn't know was that others had already sown the seeds that his words harvested. Because a few months prior to that, I had been on the verge of a nervous breakdown. where I just couldn't stop shaking. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I just knew one thing that I remembered. Many years before, when I was at secondary school, I had been given one of these. A small, red Gideon Bible, which had laid unread, gathering dust, until I found it again. I turned to it in desperation, and I slowly read the book of Matthew over the course of one weekend. And every word seemed like electricity to me. As Jesus met with me then, he turned my life around. And when I held on to the little book, to the word, the shaking stopped. And when I put the book down, the shaking started again. So I'd grab it back up again. I was completely unchurched. I had no Christian friends. I had no point of Christian reference. I had nothing except this little red book. So the power of one Bible is truly amazing. It saved my life. So never neglect it, never underestimate it. It's literally dynamite in your hands. The wonderful story of how the Lord of time and space sacrificed himself, shedding his blood on the cross, so that all who believe in him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. You see, the Bible is not just a book of old stories, as the world sometimes sees it. It is God's almighty weapon of human transformation and salvation. And that is why every power of hell and darkness will try and stop people from reading it. Do you know, the communists, they banned it in China under Chairman Mao. And now do you know that China produces more Bibles than any other country in the world? Hallelujah. Do you know that the Nazis called it the Lügenbuch, the Book of Lies? And they replaced it on their altars with Mein Kampf. Well, that didn't end too well for them, did it? The Bibles are back. Voltaire, the French philosopher, he claimed that the Bible would be forgotten within 100 years of his death. And then after he died, his house was bought by a Bible society, and it was used as a printing and distribution center for Bibles. Yay! Well, read it and weep, Voltaire, because nothing can stop the Word of God. Nothing and no one can stand against our God. All praise to him. Hallelujah. Well, you probably know the Bible has been the most printed text in all of history, but you know that it was not the most printed book last year. Do you know what book was the most printed book in the world last year? It was the IKEA catalogue. Yeah. Well, how much does that tell you about what our society is like today? Strange paradox, isn't it, that if you think about it, the IKEA catalogue is free, but you have to pay for everything inside of it. The Bible costs a few pence, and yet everything inside of it is free. It's the best news there ever was. As Billy Graham said, he said, I've read the last page of the Bible, and you know, it's going to turn out to be all right. So I became one of the 5,000 Gideons in our country because I'm so grateful to some saints, unknown to me but known to God, who gave me this most precious gift when I was at school all those years ago. They helped me to find my Saviour, and now I want to do my bit so I can help others to find him and know him. And 2019 is a special year for the Gideons. This is the 70th anniversary of the Gideons in the UK. In John 6, Jesus asked the 12 disciples if they want to leave him because so many others have already deserted him. And I find Peter's reply so very helpful. He says, to whom shall we go? He says, you have the words of eternal life. And my friends, we have the words of eternal life. The word has come to us and is literally in our hands, in my hands right now. The Gideons International Movement has over 230,000 Gideons worldwide. And they currently distribute over 80 million Bibles every year. That's about 2.5 Bibles every second of every day. And since the Gideons began in 1899, they've distributed over 1.6 billion Bibles to 193 countries in 90 different languages. Well, what about our country? Since 1949, the British Gideons have given out over 45 million Bibles, of which 34 million have been given to young people in schools, with millions more being left in hotels, hospitals, prisons, emergency services, and to individuals met personally by Gideons. We give them these things called personal witness testimonies. The current level of distribution in our country is approaching 1 million copies per year, and much of that has been achieved in partnership with local churches such as yourselves through things like Christmas and Easter market distributions, and we give thanks to God for that. And you can pray for us that we'll be able to have really fruitful conversations with people as we give out our Bibles at the Cross in Chichester this year in just a couple of weeks at Easter time. So Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And with its unique guidance section at the beginning, many, many people can testify how the Gideon Bible has spoken directly to them, sometimes preventing them from harming themselves. The stories are so moving, there's a constant stream of people who are at the end of their tether, they're considering committing suicide, and then they decide to pick up the Gideon Bible. Have a look on the Gideon website. You'll read all kinds of different testimonies. I've just brought two quick ones in as I finish now to show you, to share with you. This one is from Margaret. She says, "Dear Gideons, I've recently been in the Royal United Hospital in Bath with a very serious illness, which was a cancer growth in my spine and in my lung. It was a terrible shock. I was devastated. I just wanted to let you know what a comfort it was to find your little Bible in my bedside cabinet. I don't know what I would have done without it. The section on where to find help gave me so much hope. It was also lovely to receive visits from the Gideons in Bath. The good news I can give you is that the emergency radiotherapy and drugs have seemed to have worked wonders, and the cancer has completely disappeared. The consultant's exact words were that they are very pleased with me, but it is a complete mystery to them how this could happen so quickly." Not a mystery to us, is it? "I've no doubt that the medical things have helped, but I know that the prayers from all my friends and the Bath Gideons are the main reason for my recovery. I cannot thank you enough and hope you will continue to do the good work." This one is from Martin, who says, "I'm a prisoner currently residing in HMP Wymott. It's a cliche about prisoners finding God in jail, but he has been very patient with me, and I've come to realize that the love of Jesus is very great for every one of us, prisoner and saint alike. I was in church last Sunday and was given a Gideon Bible by one of the chaplains. On the inside it says that I can write if I've been helped by it. So this letter is a thank you for the wonderful gift of God's word. I find so much hope and inspiration in what Jesus did and his sacrifice for me. So thank you for spreading the word of God." You see, we do it because it literally changes lives. In the Chichester and Bognor region alone, we distributed over 3,000 Bibles last year. And we regularly visit the 14 secondary schools in our area. I think we gave out over 200 Bibles here just a week or two ago. Yeah, okay. And then we're going next month to Chichester High School. We've just been to Bishop Luffer recently. And before that, it was, what's the school set in Southbourne, that one? We go all around. We do it because it says in Isaiah 55 that God's word will not return empty. It will accomplish his desires. It will achieve the purpose for which he sent it. So I'll conclude now by saying there are three ways you can support this vital ministry. First of all, prayer. Prayer, the most important really. It costs nothing for you to pray for the local work of the Gideons. And you have a special connection here because Tony is the chair. You're the chair at the moment, aren't you, Tony? So he can keep you up to date with what's going on. For example, we're about to give away over 200 Bibles to the Sussex Police. And you can pray that God will lead those Bibles to get into the right hands. Yeah, it also costs nothing to go online and have a look at the Gideon UK website and be a prayer supporter in that way. The second way is financial support, and many, many people do support this wonderful work through small gifts and monthly tithing. All of the money donated goes directly into buying new Bibles. It will literally change people's lives. And the third way is by considering becoming a member. That's what I did when I heard Bill give a talk last year. The Gideon group is strong, but aging. Is that fair to say that, guys? Yeah. And we are always grateful to new people who feel called by God to come and join. So if you know that God's talking to you this morning and you'd like some further information about how you can support the Gideons, then please speak to myself or Tony at the end. There's a table full of information at the side there. And then I shall leave you to enjoy the rest of Mothering Sunday. But finally, just my last thing to say is none of the heroes that I've been showing you up on the screen is still alive. They've all died. And before Billy Graham went to glory last year, at the age of 99, he said this. He said, "My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. So when you hear that I've died, remember that I've simply changed my address." I like that. And one day I hope that I will meet him and thank him. And not only him, but the person, unbeknownst to me, who gave me this all those years ago. And I pray that there will be many others there in heaven too, giving thanks for the Gideon Bibles that they were given. And I invite you to come and join the party. So thank you, Ben, for having me here this morning. Thank you all for listening, and God bless. Amen.